Well, folks, welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God as our kids are leaving for Sunday Kids, Kingdom Kids service. I just want to take a moment and welcome you to New Sharon Assembly of God, and I'm glad that you've chosen to join us today. I'm glad that you've chosen to worship with us. My name is Pastor Mike, and if you are a guest here, you'll see this card here in front of you in your chair. This is a connection card. I'm going to encourage you to fill this card out and for a couple of reasons. As a first-time visitor, two things are going to happen when you fill out this card. The first time, after service, if you take this card through the double doors and to the right to our Connection Center, we have a free gift for you. Does anyone have their Come As You Are t-shirt on today? Okay, we got two in the back row. We have three in the back row. We got a fourth. So we have a shirt for you that says Come As You Are. We'd like to give you that for free. And then what happens second is on Monday, I'm going to send you an email thanking you for coming to service and sending you a list of local nonprofits, and you get to select one of those nonprofits for a gift to be made in your name for attending church. Amen? So we're on week two of our sermon series, Money Matters. It's a nice background Alicia put together for me. And we're spending a couple weeks here in talking about money matters. Who knows that money does matter, right? We're talking about the principles of money. And here's what I need you to know. Last week, we talked about debt, right? Hard conversation for some, right? Today, what are we talking about? Generosity, treasures in heaven. And here's what you need to know. As your pastor, I love you too much not to tell you about the biblical principles of money. Because if we don't have our money in order, how can we have anything else in order, right? So I say this with all the love I can muster. Money matters and how you choose to handle. So today I've titled the sermon, Generosity, Treasures in Heaven. And if you have your Bible this morning, and I hope you or someone next to you has one that you can look on with, I would ask you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. And while you're turning there, I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever received a gift and you thought to yourself, how much effort went into this? So Alicia's birthday was back in August, and I took the boys and we went and got birthday gifts, and we each had X amount that we were spending, so there was everyone for something. And Caden, bless his heart, bought, and I should have asked, but I didn't, so don't go be mean to Caden. He chose white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups, the minis, the individually wrapped ones. Guess who else started sneaking Reese's peanut butter cups into, I wonder who he bought the gift for. So anyways, have you ever had a gift that you thought, boy, I wonder how much effort they put into this gift? And sometimes we receive gifts that we don't like. Have you ever gotten a gift that you don't like? Be honest, every one of you are lying right now. Raise your hand. We've all received a gift that we haven't liked, or it was just kind of like, well, did we really? And some of those gifts, now let's see who, have you ever re-gifted one of those gifts? Right? In fact, there's some things that we need to look at here. In December of 2016, Kendall Perez of U.S. News and World Report actually wrote an article titled Do's and Don'ts of Holiday Re-Gifting. So it's more common. Don't feel bad if you re-gifted. But I want you to take note, there's a couple of things that you need to know when it comes to regifting. The first thing is never regift within the family. Especially never regift to the person that got it for you, right? And then do make sure you package it really, really pretty. A brown paper sack won't do if you're regifting. You need to make it look like the nicest gift in the room. The point is, sometimes we receive what we do not want, and we give what we really don't want. You know that we do this to God, too, when it comes to our giving. Instead of putting our thought, our heart, into what we offer Him, Some of us give half-hearted gifts out of duty of giving. And this morning, I'd like you just to keep this in the back of your mind. Our giving demonstrates where our loyalty lies. Our giving demonstrates where our loyalty lies. Now, generally, this is when people start to get worried about what's going to come next out of the pastor's mouth, right? I'm in church, he's talking about money. I promise this first time and all the time that I've ever given a message that I've ever talked about the biblical principles of giving money to the church. And a lot of times, there's a lot of hesitation around it because people get mad when pastors talk about money. You know that money is the number one reason why couples get divorced in the United States today? Do you know why that is? Because they're not willing to talk about money. Don't be mad at me. I hope you guys go and have conversations today after this message. But you're waiting for me to tell you to give to the church, aren't you? Right? You're waiting for me to say, give your money to the church. Is what happens is a lot of churches do this, and they put it together, they present a message, they say you need to give to the church, but they tell you it's your duty to give, right? It's your duty to give to the church, and that's your tithe, your offerings, your giving, and it's crucial to the ministry and the health of the church. Can anybody agree to that? Right? It's crucial to the ministry, it's crucial to the health, and it's crucial to run the local church. And all of that is very true, right? However, when they set it up and present it like a duty and they stop there, that's where people have an issue. That's where we get upset with how the message was presented. Well, he told me I had to give and I don't want to give. That right there, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the heart. We're going to talk about the heart that is behind giving. Did you know that your heart is the root of all things? Out of your heart comes whether or not you are generous in your giving, doing it out of duty. So today we talk about a heart issue. Listen, you can give from your resource from duty, right? Who has a 20 in their wallet right now? You could all give that right now, and it probably wouldn't be a very big inconvenience, right? Just a drop in the hat, no big deal. Little this, I can do a little here, little there, without inconvenience, right? I would have to ask, and maybe it is generous, right? Maybe somebody only has a dollar left to their name and that 20 bucks does something amazing, but I have to ask, and I have to say, you can't be kingdom generous without the right heart. Can you outgive God? If I don't have the right heart, I can't even touch close to what God can do, right? I can give a gift. It may be a gift that someone gave me last year, but it's a gift, right? Doesn't that count for something? We're going to have a staff Christmas party at some point this year. Y'all are going to get a gift. I have no idea, but please send gifts between now and then I'll mix them up and turn them. I'm just joking, right? But it's a gift. It's a gift of duty, isn't it? Or I can give a gift that is meaningful, that took effort, that means something, that showed that I gave thought to it. And guess what the difference is? It's special, and it has an impact. This right here is the principle of duty versus generosity. Let's get to our scripture this morning. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says this, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Let's read this together. Verse 21. Ready? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me repeat that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I'm curious if you caught that this morning, what we just read. Essentially, this has just told us that our eternal perspective affects our earthly priorities. Let me repeat that. Our eternal perspective affects our earthly priorities. What this has just taught us is that there is a direct correlation between what we do with our resources and what happens on the other side. What happens when you get to heaven. To say it in Mike Linder terms, we need to be laying up treasure in heaven, not laying up treasure here on earth. What happens if we lay up treasure here on earth? The things of the world, they destroy it. They take it. They steal away. I got to tell a story, John. I'm going to tell a story on you, okay? Thumbs up. So the story goes like this. The other day they were outside talking, and his yellow car, poor guy, he hit a deer this week. I think the car's finally going to be retired. But I'm told that they were outside talking, and as they were talking, what fell off the car? Rocker? Did it? So just standing there talking, the car's not moving, and pfft. What is that generally a sign of? Rust, right? So rust will eat up our treasures here on. Now, I'm not saying, John, you treasure the car, but simply just trying to prove the point that rust will destroy our treasures, right? What happens if you throw dollar bills in a fire? What happens? They get destroyed, right? Anything that I have does not go to heaven with me. There must be a difference between our possessions and what's valuable in God's economy. His economy works completely different than ours. You may be asking, well, how do I lay up treasures in heaven, Mike? The simple answer, ready for this? Simple answer is to read God's word, listen to what Jesus is saying, and doing what he says. On a side note, if you're not doing our 5-day Bible reading plan, everyone laughs, but guys, this has just been amazing. I love doing this. Who's still doing this? Good. Hands all around. We're going to go through the entire Bible as a church every day, every week. We're reading the same thing. And you put people in a room together that are doing this, and you'll be surprised what conversations you start to have. In fact, back there in the foyer on the table right outside the double doors there, there's several of these copies available. Don't feel like because I didn't start in week one that you can't jump in tomorrow on week 38. I promise the Word of God has impact regardless of where I pick up in it. Amen? Okay. 5-day Bible reading plan. Get in it. Essentially, the answer is just that simple. Get in the Word, right? Now, what's valuable both now and eternity, so if we're going to answer that, what's valuable now and what's valuable in eternity, it's this. It's what God cares about. What does God care about? He cares about treating people right, forgiveness, and loyalty. We're meant to be generous with our possessions, to use our possessions for good. We are meant to love people, right? We're not meant to be greedy. We're not meant to love possessions. And we're certainly not meant to use people. How we view eternity, our eternal perspective, affects our earthly priorities. What priorities do you have today? Think of it this way. Have you ever been to Casey's, Walmart, Bass Pro? I could name 100 others. Just going to go on a tangent here. When you go and you spend money at a store and they ask you to round it up 99 cents because you went a penny over so you can give it to a good... I hate that. I'm sorry. They put you in a precarious... Trust me, they have done studies. They know the percentage of people that will say yes to that to maximize what they're giving and to what they're giving to, and you have no control where that money goes. Do you understand that this morning? They want you to raise that money, and you got a line of people standing behind you. And I really just, when Casey's does the veteran, I just feel terrible. I love veterans. I appreciate the work that they have done for us. But when you give, is it out of generosity or is it out of duty? I can tell you 99% of the time for me it was out of duty. Because you actually have to hit no on the screen. No, I'm not giving 99 cents to that. And anybody else, or am I the only one? I mean, thank you. So I used to do it all the time just simply because I felt bad. It's awkward, right? They put you in an awkward situation and say, would you like to give? So everybody behind you hears, and the person before you said yes, the person after you is going to say yes, and you say no. Well, who's that guy? It's a gift of obligation. That's what you need to understand. It's a gift of obligation. It wasn't because I was a generous person, okay? I don't get to pat myself on the back because I gave 99 cents to whatever, Operation Christmas Child or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Now listen, giving from the perspective of duty or because you feel obligated to give of your tithe and offering, right? Done in vain. If you do all of this and it is done in vain, you understand that you shouldn't do it at all. Now, I did not just give everybody a Monopoly get out of jail for free card where you don't have to give your tithe and offering anymore. That is not what you should have just heard. What you should have heard is that if you're giving it out of duty, you shouldn't, because there's a heart issue that needs addressed. Scripture proves it to us. You can write those down, and you can go and you can study these this week. It is proven throughout Scripture that God doesn't want your gift of duty from a place of, I have to. Isaiah 1, 11 through 15, it says, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who is required of you this? Jeremiah 6:20. What use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. God does not receive the sacrifices because their heart is not right. Meaning, they are unrepented. They have no faith. They are faithless. They are loveless. How do you give a gift? Love. And their hearts were hardened towards him. Go to the New Testament, Matthew 23, 23 through 24. It says this, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Reader might ask, well, what are the weightier matters of the law? Don't worry, it tells you right here. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Would have rather they focused on the prior or the justice, mercy, and faithfulness and not done the offering versus doing the offering and then not doing. So both, but if you had to choose, it would justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Instead, God desires this, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. It says, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Any kinds of works, any rituals, any practices, anything that we do for God without faith is useless. Let me make you feel good. Well, I gave X amount. When the BGMC goes by and we drop the coins here, so it makes a lot of noise. Right? It makes us feel good. But if it's done without faith, the Bible tells us it's useless. Because God desires steadfast love and knowledge of Him, listen, above duty or obligation. He wants our hearts to be right with Him. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, it says this. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Does anyone know? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The word cheerful here means, doesn't mean we're at a party jumping and singing and going crazy and off the rails and we're being cheerful people, right? The word cheerful here means we get to experience an overwhelming sense of inner joy, gladness, and fulfillment that goes along with sincere and generous giving. Giving that comes from the heart. And would you know that this ties into last week's message? With the importance of not carrying debt, right? We talked about debt last week and how we become slaves to debt. Or at a minimum, not carrying a burdensome debt. You cannot be generous when you are a slave to debt. You can be generous out of duty. You cannot be kingdom generous. There's a difference. So, I know today that you're asking, how do I start to be generous? Well, I'm glad you're here because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give biblical truths for you. The first thing, everybody hanging on? If this is what you were hoping wasn't going to come, tithing. You can start by tithing. Tithing is the beginning of generosity. Let's talk about a little history of the tithe, shall we? Did you know that tithing, the church did not create tithing? The law did not create tithing. Did you know that? In Genesis 14:18, tithing started under Abraham when he gave a tenth to the priest Melchizedek before the law was even given to Moses. The law simply articulated the act of tithing. It supported it. Now, what is tithing? I'm going to be very clear here. I believe the Bible is clear. And so that's what I am speaking from. Tithing in biblical standards is 10%, right? So let's do some math together. Everybody good with math? If you make $10 an hour and you work 10 hours a week, what is your gross check? And if I give a tenth of $100, how much am I giving to the church? $10. So starting to tithe is the first step to becoming generous. Now listen, for those thinking to themselves, we can't tithe, I can't tithe, we carry too much debt, or we enjoy this lifestyle, we just simply cannot afford to do that, or we can't do that. Or maybe it's really, I won't do that. There's a heart issue there. Here's what I have to say. You can't. You cannot afford to not give. In fact, Malachi chapter 3, you can put this on your list to read later as well. God says that by withholding the tithe and offering, that the Jews were robbing God Himself. Here's what tithing does, and here's how it's supported today in the New Testament. Do we still, today in our world, do we still have the privilege and the responsibility to honor God? Do we still have the need for ministry? Has anything changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament in that aspect? No. We are the body of Christ. We are responsible to give in order to support the Lord's work, right? Both in our local community and around the world. And if we look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, I'm giving you a whole lot of reading material, so I hope you're taking notes. Read for yourselves this week, because 2 Corinthians, or actually, tomorrow, guess what book we're starting tomorrow? 2 Corinthians, or no, we started that on Friday. We're in 2 Corinthians already, chapter 2. By the end of the week, we're going to be in 6, but go ahead and read chapter 8 and chapter 9. If you want to learn what it means, the principles and promises with Christian giving, go read those, okay? Many of you know this story about me. Some of you don't. Here's what you need to know, and this is why I'm so passionate about giving. My first Sunday here, so I had an experience with the Lord, and I knew that I needed Him, and who knows that flesh doesn't need Him. I had been around the church long enough to know that tithing, and there's a lot of weird things and feelings around tithing, this and that. And so as a smart aleck 21-year-old, I said, oh, well, here, I'm gonna start asking people about tithing. I want somebody to give me a biblical truth for what tithing is, why, and whether or not I should start it. I went to a couple of young adult sessions at a church, it doesn't matter where, but a church in Iowa had. I went to Sunday mornings with them, and I asked a few of the leaders to talk about tithing with me, and nobody could give me a satisfactory answer. Now, did they give me a satisfactory answer? Yeah, they probably did, but I didn't want to hear it, right? Many of you know Sean Noel. When he invited me here for my first Sunday in October of 2008, what many of you don't know is when Pastor Scott, that Sunday morning, Sean went to Pastor Scott and he said, I've got a friend coming, you better do a good job. No, ask Sean, ask Scott, they will confirm that with you. Scott had a message on tithing prepared for 6 weeks. And that's about the length of time that Sean had started reaching out, talking to me, inviting me to come to church. And the Lord told Scott to hang on to that sermon every Sunday until the Sunday I said I was coming here. So guess what was preached? So if you're a guest here today and you're hearing about tithing, you share a story just like mine, and I say, praise God. The first Sunday here, every objection that I had for tithing, gone. And I can say that I have not given my tithe. That's a double negative. You can't say that. I have given my tithe every Sunday since then faithfully. Because I said, Lord, this can't be real. This can't be who you say and what you say and how. And why would you require that of me? If you're the God of 1,000 cattle on a hill, why do you need my measly $250? Because it has nothing to do with duty. But it has everything to do with the what? The heart. The second is this. How we start being generous is offering. Do you know that tithing and offering are two different things? They are not one and the same. Offering comes after your tithe. Offering is after the 10%. Offering is what you give above and beyond the tithe. This is when generosity has full effect in our life. When we give our offering above and beyond our tithe, this is when you support special projects, right? We're still saving money for the ACs. So we've placed two of the five. We have three more. Two of them cost us 20 grand, a little over 20 grand. We have three more that need to be replaced sometime in the next, 1 to 3 years, depending on when they decide to quit pumping out cold air. This is what that offering goes to. Do you understand that this morning? This is when you get to give to the special projects. You get to give to outreach. You get to give to missions in the church. Mark this on your calendar next Sunday. What are we talking about? Missions and giving to missionaries. Our tithes don't do that. Our tithe is the daily function of the church and the mission of the church. And when we are willing and able to give offering along with our tithe, it allows us to say yes with incredible joy. Is there any requirements on offering? No, there's not. It's what you've decided in your heart to give, right? Tithe, that tithe needs to be there as well. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says this, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." That's how God's economy works. Proverbs 11:24, it says this, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want." When we start tithing, when we start giving offering, and we do it from a place of a generous heart, we do it from a place that it's not duty, but it is our worship. It is understanding that all things come from Him. It's when we start to lay treasures up in heaven. Did you know that when we start giving, I'm going to show you the biblical proof here. Did you know that when we start giving, it opens up a supernatural window of spiritual blessing upon your life? This isn't one of those get-rich-quick schemes. We're not. That's not what this is. But this is what the Lord says. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food, that there may be food in my house. And, listen, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Anyone have a need this morning? Just let that marinate for a second. We can't outgive God's blessing. So here's the challenge for you. Will you put God's word to the test? Why don't you go ahead and see if He won't bless you until there's no more need in your life? And it starts very simply. It starts with tithing 10%. And folks, let me just tell you, as a broke 21-year-old, you heard my debt position last week, right? I signed up for 3 credit cards day one and bought a PlayStation 3, okay? Now, I saw yesterday, this was brilliant, and I love this, Terry. There's a PlayStation 3 with all the games in a box right inside the door of the rocks of the gym, sitting in a box and had the flap folded over, and it just said PS3 with permanent marker on there. It wasn't displayed, and I was like, well, that's a PS. I should get that, right? I didn't need it. I have a PS4 at home. But there's a gentleman that went in, because I called her and I said, "Terry, you should probably open the doors. It's thundering a bunch. It's going to start no more. Did the last person get in?" And it just started raining cats and dogs. One of the guys that was standing in line, he grabbed that box up, and first thing he did, out to the car, stuck it in his van, shut it, and went back in for more stuff. Okay? He wasn't letting anybody else get that PS3. And he didn't have to put any money on credit card to get it either. So here's the thing, right? Tithing, it's hard, right? So I was a broke 21-year-old, just started working, dropped out of college, started working, making some decent checks as a salesperson. And who's ever had a hard time writing their first tithing check? I did. I still remember it today. It's tough, right? And then all of a sudden when your restart starts growing and adding and all of a sudden you're writing a check that's 10 times worth what you gave the first time. And well, don't you know that's hard to write too? It's a big step. And I remember it was the scariest thing that I've ever done. One, giving a church my money that I really didn't know, right? Because we've got to be cautious who we give our money to, but we don't care who we give our money to online when it comes to purchasing our wants, right? Right? Here's the thing, guys. God's trustworthy. You can place your trust. You can place your finances with Him. And I can tell you, I don't regret giving my first tithe. I don't regret giving any of my money to the church. Because why? Because He's proved Himself faithful time and time and time and time again. We are generous with our tithe and our offerings because it's right, not because of a promise of a reward. If you're giving from that position, this is why it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, right? It's not prosperity gospel. You write me a check for $1,000, God will give you the money back threefold in 3 years, 10 days, and 2 minutes from now, right? How many of you know people who have written a check for that? We don't give for the reward. We give because it's right. But the Lord Himself promises to bless those who are generous to Him. And it's true in our life. We could go through and we could tell you all the times that God has radically done things for us that didn't make sense. I can say it's only because of our, one, He's faithful, but I can say that I believe it comes because we were faithful in our giving and our tithing to the church. And it's God's generosity just pouring out. And I know that there's several of you out there who have experienced God move in ways that just doesn't make sense. And I know that you would testify of the same thing here this morning. Our giving demonstrates where our loyalty, our heart, put that in parentheses, our giving demonstrates where our heart lies. Church, I would really stress to say, let your heart lie with God's kingdom. Stacy, if you'd like to come up. Listen, church, becoming a generous people. I'm not saying we're not generous. So if you heard today that I'm not generous, Mike just wants more of my money, you missed everything that I've just said. It's a hard issue. Right? When we become a generous people, even more so, right, it will absolutely impact the trajectory of this church. Do you believe that this morning? Listen, I had the craziest dream, completely off topic, but I got to share this. I was up this morning at I don't know, 3:45 a.m. or something like that, and I was like, that's way too early to be up. I'm going to go back to bed. Who struggles with going back to sleep when it's that early in the morning, right? I laid there for quite a while, and then I finally fell asleep. This morning in church, we were back here, and we were grabbing this carpet and peeling off the stage before church started. I forgot to tell the Sunday school teachers that we had no Sunday school. I'm rolling carpet up here saying, hey, go tell them they're not teaching. They're going to teach their lesson next week. We're not doing it today. Rolling up carpet. I go down into the fellowship hall. Folks, there's at least 50 guests down there waiting for us to serve a breakfast. People that I couldn't tell you who they are, but people that I know that need to come to the Lord. I don't know necessarily what the significance of that dream is, besides to say, when we are faithful, He is faithful. I believe that there comes a day when New Sharon Assembly of God and New Sharon, not New Sharon Assembly of God, because you've all heard the Word of God, but New Sharon, every name will have had the opportunity to say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I need You." Let me just tell you that that doesn't happen without the church, without the faithful disciples doing the work that God has called us to do. It seems far-fetched. It seems like it's never going to happen. I relish the day when the Lord says, "Look what I've done because you decided to trust Me." I hope that dream comes true. I hope that I'm up here peeling carpet off the stage one day because it just needs to happen before sun. Look, listen, there's plywood under here. We literally had a plywood stage. And I wasn't doing it well enough because there's staples in it. And John Moses come up with his big old leather gloves and just peeled the whole thing off in one deal. I'm not even kidding you. I pray for a day that we have to remodel the stage before service starts. Because we need more room. But listen, God can see that dream about. God can see it about that every person in this town has the opportunity to say, "Yes, Lord Jesus." And I hope you believe that with me. Because when we are generous, listen, when we are generous, when we use our possessions for good, and we love people, we will see God move in an incredible way that we have not experienced before. This is how we engage our community for Jesus. So here's the question that each one of you have to answer on your own. I can't make you answer this. Listen, I don't care what you decide to do after today. I do, but it's between you and God, right? The question that you have to answer today is this. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him more than you trust your dollars? Do you trust Him more than all of your possessions? Do you trust Him more than your 401k? That's a question each one of you have to answer on your own, and I can't tell you where you arrive. But if it's anything other than I trust Him more, it's a heart issue. If you guys would, I just ask that you would close your eyes, bow your heads this morning. I'm talking to everybody in here this morning. I want you to hear the words that are coming from my mouth this morning. Focus on them. Listen to what I have to say. God offers us a treasure that lasts forever. And it's a relationship with Him that begins here, but it continues in all of eternity when we are in heaven with Him. What will benefit be if you give up on what really matters to gain more possession here on earth? If I just had one more item, if I just had one more toy, I would be just that much more happy. Listen, there's nothing worth more. There's not a dollar amount that you can give that is worth more than a relationship with Jesus Christ. So for that reason, whether this is in a new way, this is in a fresh way, maybe you've said it before, you've asked God or Jesus into your heart and forgive your sins, and you've decided to go about and do your life, and for whatever reason you're here today, and this is speaking to you. This is God. If you can feel this in your heart, God is saying, respond. I'm waiting for you to respond to Me. And maybe this first time you're here and this is just a crazy guy up here yelling at you, but yet the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. He's asking you to make a choice in a new way today, in a way that you've never made a choice. And we do this every Sunday because I want everyone in here to have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ and to repent from sin. The Bible is very clear. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or you need a fresh experience with Jesus, all eyes are closed, heads are bowed, would you please just raise your hand? Let me see your hand. Amen. Church, let's pray together. Repeat these words after me, please. Dear God,
I acknowledge
that I am a sinner, that needs saving. I admit my sin. Lord, I ask that you forgive me of these sins. That you would wash me clean. I trust in your power and your grace and your love. From this moment forward, I dedicate myself to you. Change me. Use me. Lord, let others see you through me. In Jesus' name, amen. There was one individual this morning that raised their hand. Praise God. Thank you. Here's what you need to know. You know, I've actually quoted the scripture, and I was challenged on this week. It says in the New Testament, I believe it's in Luke, that there's rejoicing amongst the angels. But if you read it a little bit closely, it doesn't say that the angels are rejoicing. It says there's rejoicing before the angels. Who's the one doing the rejoicing? God the Father is on His feet jumping, hooting, hollering, and saying, "Yes, another one's come home." I say praise God for that. So here's how we're going to end today. I want to make sure that we take time, one, to respond. I'm not asking anybody to come up to respond to this message. This is a tough message. Probably one of the hardest messages I've put together. However, biblical truth, and I would rather teach biblical truth than feel good messages that we can go home and feel good about not doing anything different. But if you have a need in here, if you have a physical need, if you have an emotional need, if you have a challenge that you're facing, any unspoken thing, a healing, prayer, support, listen, if you need something, your right side of the altar is open, and that's for you to come and just spend time with Jesus, spend time with God in His presence, and we will have people available to pray with you. But as we close today, I'm going to ask you to take a minute as the worship team gets ready to lead us in a song. This is between you and God. How you respond today is between you and the Lord. So I'm going to close in a prayer. I'm going to pray over all of us, and I'm going to ask that God would speak to us on our generosity, and that He would challenge us, and that we would have the courage to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, a tough message. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit has gone before. Lord, that You have prepared the hearts for this message today, that You have confirmed things that You have been already speaking to them about. Lord, I pray that before we leave here today, Lord, that You would speak to each one of us about our generosity. What that looks like. Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in doing that. Lord, I pray for growth in every one of us here today. Lord, I pray that none of us leave here today unchanged. But rather, Lord, our hearts have been opened before you. Lord, we thank you for how you provide all of our needs. Lord, that you know our needs before they even come to our lips. And Lord, I thank you for being a faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen.